Chris Saunders. You're listening to The Medley with Blake Crash Priddle.
Good day, this is Blake Crash Priddle, and welcome to The Medley. This week we're going to be speaking with Canadian actor Cliff Saunders, the husband of Elizabeth Saunders, who we had on our show previously, who is best known for his roles in Open Range, Camp Lake Bottom, and more recently the TV show From. You'll get to find out what he originally wanted to do before he became an actor, and you'll also learn about a family connection that I have with him. What motivated you to pursue a career in acting?
So I grew up in the Ottawa Valley, about 100 miles north of Ottawa, up in the sticks. And I thought I was going to be a carpenter. And I remember in high school, later on, somebody kind of dared me to be involved in this kind of spring show that they tended to put on. And anyway, I went in it and kind of stole the show and all that, but I was going to be a carpenter, and I couldn't get into carpentry school because there was a year and a half waiting list, and people used to ask me, what are you going to do when you graduate? And I said, I'm going to be a carpenter, and they'd say, no, go to Hollywood, because they found me somewhat amusing and thought that Hollywood was what's the route I should take. But I was like, nah, it's too risky and everything. Anyway, I applied for this carpentry course that was very good, and carpenters that I'd worked for had taken it and learned some really interesting tricks and all that stuff. There was a year and a half waiting list for this course, so I couldn't get in. And then I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I'm the seventh out of eight kids, and I was basically the first one to graduate from high school, because back then, I mean, some later did, but back then, the thing to do was to drop out of high school. You know, this is in the 70s, and it wasn't that thing, but a lot of people did, including a lot of my siblings. I wanted to do something, and so I heard, I put this joke announcement in at school, because I wanted to hear the old secretary lady read it. Can't remember what the announcement was, but so I was listening to the announcements, which people don't usually do very much at the end of the day. And one of the announcements that came in before mine was that there was a book in the guidance office that still had courses available in colleges and universities. So I thought, So I ran down there, I was the first one there, I grabbed it, I brought it home, I'm reading it and looking at it, and it's all like, you know, marketing, accounting, no, that's too hard, and all this stuff, no, that's too hard. And then on theater arts, that sounds easy, in the sense of I didn't want to work too hard, but on the other sense, it was also intrigued me, because I said, well, people said I should do that. So I applied, and for George Brown College in Toronto, the theater arts program, which was a fairly decent program in the day, and still is. And I mean, the story could go on and on, but cut to me coming down, there was a track meet, and so I got a ride down to Toronto. It was the All Ontario track meet offices. And I was in the track team, but I didn't make it that far. But I thought, oh, I'll go down with the team and watch it. And then I'll go and I'll do what I thought was an interview, because they said, for your interview. And I said, well, is there any, when they said that George Brown would like to see me and interview me. And then I said, well, should I prepare anything? And they said, but they said something like a contrasting speech. I think there's two contrasting speeches or whatever, 5 minutes on. But I got confused as to what a contrast speech was. I thought that was a type of speech. Anyway, and I looked it all up, you know, and then the contrast meant and contrasting characters and all that kind of stuff. But So I go down. I still hadn't written. I'm there. I watch the sports. And then I get a teacher let me stay at his apartment that was empty. And so I did that. And at 11 o'clock at night, I'm going, I still have to write the speech. And I thought, well, I don't want to just like do public speaking type thing. I want to act. So I'm going to make two characters. So I wrote these characters that contrasted each other and they play against each other. And I just kind of do a spin, and then I was the next guy, and then I spin back, and it was the next guy, which is interesting because I ended up doing stuff like that in theater on Broadway and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you later. So anyway, I do this, and then what happened was I wrote this, and then we get there, and a very professional director type fellow was there was about eight of us that they bring you in and grow eight to ten people, and there was that, and they bring you in and he does his spiel, and then he says asks people, well, what are you going to do for your audition? And the first person's like, well, I'm going to be doing a piece from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and then I'll be doing for my contemporary piece I'll be doing some Arthur Miller, and I have a song from this, and I got a tap dance number. And all the way down the line, they all had stuff like that, all kinds of stuff. And then it got to me, and I said, I didn't know this was an audition. I thought it was just like an interview. And they said, oh, well, did you prepare something? I said, well, I wrote a thing last night, but can you do it? Yeah, I can do it. Anyway, I do it, and made them laugh. Anyway, and then you go into the green room, which was blue, so they say, okay, well, no, now we're gonna have people do cold readings, and a cold reading is where they give you a script, and you basically it's new. You take it, you go in, and then you read it, act it as best you can. So they gave us it, you go in the green room, you look at it, and then when they call you, you go in and perform it. So I went in the green room, I read it and all that, and then, read it through. I should point out that I have a reading disability that wasn't diagnosed back then. It's a form of dyslexia. Anyway, so I read it, I go in, and they said, okay, read it. And I go in and I start, and I'm freezing up. I can't string, three words together. I'm all over the place. I'm nervous. Just blocked. And they said, it's okay. Take a moment. And, I'm paralyzed. And they said, well, did you read it? And I said, yeah, I read it in the blue room. And then they laughed. I didn't know why until I realized that it was the wrong color. Anyway, and so they said, well, put it down and just tell us the story in your own words. So I put it down and I told it all. I bet you I was almost word for word. I told it all. And then at near the end, I thought, well, I want to act, so I should throw some emotion in. And I remember forcing this, almost crying and all that, but I did it. And then we had to write a thing that said, why do you think you should be an actor? And I wrote this story about there was this girl in my high school who was a very talented runner. And she just quit the team one day. And she was a good distance runner. And I was talking to her. I didn't understand why she had such this great talent. And, she could... I said, you can make AFSA and all that. But she just wanted to quit, and I'd see her in the smoking lane smoking cigarettes. I don't understand. If I had your talent, whatever. Anyway, so I remembered that story, and when I decided I want to apply for acting, I remembered my own advice to her. It's like, but you have a gift. I remembered people telling me, go to Hollywood. So I wrote that in my little thing, saying, all these people. And anyway, cut to, I made it into George Brown Theater School. And so I think that.
Did I hear you correctly? You had a role in Broadway?
The first time was The 39 Steps that I did 2008. It was a four-hander, four people. We opened it in Boston, and then for a kind of a trial test run, and then we opened in, on Broadway, and were nominated for the Tony Awards. And then the second time I did, I was asked to go play Thénardier in Les Misérables for the revival of, or the new, you know, revival of Les Misérables. And I did that on Broadway as well.
So you're based in Toronto, and you did theater on Broadway, and you were in, I believe, the Chicago Shakespearean Theater too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a whole bunch of others. That's what I noticed when I was doing research about your career. Was it a challenge to travel back and forth to those places?
In some ways it was a challenge, and in other ways it was a real treat, a real experience. You know, you go down and you rehearse and then perform down there. Like, you go down and basically live in out of town, wherever you're working with, it's in Canada or whatever. But down there, yeah, so... You know, the New York thing was, I had been, actually, one time I did I was in the Canadian premiere of Beauty and the Beast at the Princess of Wales Theatre in Toronto. And we were like the second production in the world of that show. It was on Broadway. And they decided that we would rehearse down in New York. And that was really cool. That was in the mid-90s. The challenge is sometimes, you know, being away from your family. The perks are you're in New York, or you're in Boston, or you're in Chicago, you know, or, you know, places like that. And, you know, when I was in New York, I wanted to experience all things New York, as an example. Same with Chicago and the blues and the Art Institute and all that. You know, when you're there, you try and take it in. And you have to do the work, though, the theater work and rehearsing and all that. But when you get a chance, you know, it is one of the kind of the perks of the job, is you get to experience these other locations.
A short while ago, you talked about how you encouraged one of your classmates to pursue their dream. And that reminded me that my cousin Jade used to go to school with you.
Jane was the same year as me. Yeah, and she's from Eganville. And her parents were teachers, really nice people. And Jade is a really, really nice person as well. Same with her siblings as well, Sean and Pamela and that. And they're from Eganville. They're from g'day, I'm from the valley. They're not rurally types, but they're definitely from there, the land of academia. So, but really nice people for sure. And they're your cousins.
That's right. They're my cousins, and their parents, the teachers, Aunt Marg and Uncle Don. I don't get to see them a lot, but I did get to see them at family reunions and family gatherings. And
wow, it's a small world. I now that you mention it, I remember that you had mentioned it. And I'd seen, because on Facebook, Jade is, we've kind of reacquainted on Facebook. So, and she's been doing some traveling lately, I noticed.
You've had a lot of success in your career, but did you ever have any trouble finding gigs?
Early on in my career, you know, we'd do what we call Joe jobs or whatever, other jobs to pay the rent until... during what we call dry spells, and dry spells are when you're not working as an actor. So yeah, early on I used to do things like temp work, and did some catering. I never waitered, but I did some catering, and I was an usher when Cats first came to Toronto in 85, but then they made me the stage doorman, so I was actually the stage doorman for Cats, and until I got a job at the Royal Alexander Theatre. Eventually the dry spells got smaller, and then I haven't done a Joe job in years and years and decades. But very early on in my career, and I'd say in my 20s, I did have to do some other jobs from time to time.
You've had a very successful onstage career, but you have also been in front of the camera. And one movie that really stands out for me was the Western movie Open Range with Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall, which I hear was filmed in Alberta. How did it feel to work with those two amazing actors?
It was fantastic. I loved it. Kevin Costner was the director as well. And Robert Duvall, you know, a legend. I loved every minute of it. It was a Western. You know, is how often you get to be in a Western. And I remember, like, when I read the script and I'm going, well, I don't get to ride a horse or shoot a gun, but at least I get to sally up to the bar and order a whiskey. But then but then when we were filming, it was like, no, they put me in the gunfight. Us townies got involved in the gunfight. And that was a lot. That gunfight was wild and a lot of fun. And I thought done really well. In my opinion, one of the best gunfights in a Western. I really liked the way they did it. Very, you know, it was fantastic. My bigger scene where I had to list off a whole bunch of candies and then do a scene, you know, and act with Duvall and Costner and everything. We went in and like that was scheduled for my second. I was there for about a week more than a month. I was there for about a month and a week, I guess. And that was scheduled for my second last day of filming, right near the end of the shoot.
I totally agree with you that the gunfight in the movie Open Range was one of the best gunfights in a Western movie. I also really liked your character. For those of you that don't know, the character that Cliff Saunders played in that movie was named Ralph. And Ralph had a very thick Southern drawl. And what I'd like to know is, how did you develop Ralph's voice?
I think I just did it. I just did it. And I think based on some of the way the script was written, sometimes what I do when I'm doing a show, this might sound weird, but when there's an accent required, I'll go, where's that person from? Not Ralph, but I remember doing another movie one time. And I thought, okay, this character's from Alabama. So I just say Alabama. I say the word, I say the place a lot of times. Alabama, you know, Alabama, Alabama, and all that. And I'll just start doing that. And then the accent, that's helpful. But you do research and everything. But because this was a Western setback, you know, the accents could be all over the place. People are still, a lot of people are new. My guy would have been there. Probably born, you know, in North America and all that. But so it depends on the show.
While we're on the topic of voices, you've been in a lot of cartoons over the years as well. I think most recently you were Sawyer in Camp Lake Bottom.
That's right. Sawyer. Sawyer in Camp Lake Bottom was a zombie. These kids go to camp. The counselors are, there's a zombie, there's a Sasquatch. Oh, you know, with that Camp Lake Bottom, you watch From, right?
I have, yes.
Yes. So, first off, my wife, Elizabeth Saunders, plays Donna in From, and I've recurred in it, in about five or six episodes, but the actor, that Scott McCord, who plays Victor in it, he played the lead voice in Camp Lake Bottom. So we did that series. And we did another series together, too, called Meteor, Monster Trucks or whatever, something like that. So I'd worked with him a few times in voice.
The voice that you gave for Sawyer to me almost sounded like he had a swollen tongue or something. Was that voice inspired by anyone or any characters that were done in the past?
It was inspired by, I looked at the picture of the character, and his jaw looked kind of slack and loose, and he had, so I just thought, and he was, because he was a zombie, I give him a slushy voice, and I just thought, because of his jaw. When I did the Meteor one, I played a character called Junk Boy, and I gave him a slushy voice too, but there's a reason. Junk Boy was a garbage truck. And he was this kid, garbage truck. And I noticed that the front of his bumper grid was kind of smashed in. I saw the picture of that and decided that he too had to have mouth issues. And he had a different kind of voice. But I did a cartoon one time years ago. We did two seasons of one called Quads. John Callahan's quads. And what they were looking for in the voice for when they're auditioning was a Stephen Wright kind of that voice, and everything's just a dry, droll delivery. And they thought, and Mike Blazer was just a head on a on like a skateboard, a wheelboard, and it was a kind of a very adult cartoon. And they wanted the Steve Wright thing. I don't have that deep, rich voice, so I decided I'm going to go opposite, and I'm going to make him irritating, you know, kind of guy, you know. And he's, you know, he's just kind of an irritating, very high-pitched, in your face like a mosquito, you know. And I thought, I'm going to do that instead. And I guess I went against what they wanted, but they eventually decided that they would go for that. They liked that.
Well, you've been in a lot of cartoons, but of all the characters, who is your favorite to voice?
I'm going to say Blazer and Quads. And Junk Boy was good. Actually, there was another thing, but it never aired. We'd done about 6 episodes, and then they completely changed the format. And that was Scaredy Squirrel. And the character that I did doesn't exist in the series. Same with, they went one route, and then we did about 6 episodes, and I played a tadpole.
I want to talk a little bit more about the streaming series From. What's your favorite part about making that show? I've watched it, and I absolutely love it. It's a very well thought out series.
Well, my favorite thing about it is it's my wife is one of the main characters. I had gone out, visited Busy, took the girls and the dog. We went for a nice visit for a couple of weeks. And I had sent a self-tape in for a character, Dale, and you forget about it. And then we're driving back, 2 or 3 days driving back from there, from out east. We filmed it out in Nova Scotia. I just crossed the Quebec border, pulled into a gas station, and checked my messages, and they're like, "Are you still in Nova Scotia?" Because they wanted to hire me to play Dale. And I was like, no. But anyway, so basically I finished driving home, then, you know, got settled in with girls and all that. Next day I was back. Next day I was on a plane going out. I had a day to get ready to go out there for a few weeks. Because also with the pandemic, you had to go and, you know, you had to do 5 days of isolation and all that kind of stuff, and before you even made it to set and all this stuff. So but that was a real great kind of perk, was that one of my favorite things is I get to act with Lizzie. We met doing a play at YPT many years ago, like 1990 or something like that, and we hadn't worked together since then. So we finally got to work together again, and, you know, within one of the first scenes we did together is a scene where she infamously punches me and knocks me out. There's a gif out there, I'm not sure how you say it, but out there of there, it's just a repeat of Lizzie punching me and me falling, and I love it. I'm just mesmerized by it. But it's nice to work with Lizzie and again. And I got to do 3 more episodes in season 2 as well. So that was nice too.
I remember seeing that particular scene where Liz punched you, and I thought it is so funny to see my acting coach, who is a very nice person in real life, you know, pretending to hit her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a comic relief scene for me in a lot of ways.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, Liz has got a lot of comedy in that. And a lot of serious, gritty, hard stuff, but she's got a lot of good lines and all that.
Your character, I don't think, is well established yet. At this point, he's really just a reoccurring character. We don't really know his backstory yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, there is a scene in season 2 where I do something shifts the plot, an altercation with somebody, and so it was I don't want to give too much away for people that haven't seen that episode yet.
Well, it's like William Shakespeare used to say, there's no small parts, only small actors, which means no matter what, you're always a part of the show.
Yeah. I am somewhat of a small knocker. I mean, I'm only 5 foot seven.
And I'm 6 foot four.
Are you really?
Yeah. Wow. I used to play basketball in elementary school.
Oh, did you? I don't doubt it.
Yeah, I was a center. I read on your IMDb profile that your trademark is physical comedy. Can you tell us about some of the roles where you performed physical comedy, both on stage and in front of the camera?
It goes back to, I did a lot of shows at YPT quite often. The YPT is Young People's Theatre in Toronto. Quite often there might be some kind of magical elements or just a lot of high energy shows. So I like doing that. I like doing pratfalls. When I did Beauty and the Beast, I played LeFou, who's Gaston's sidekick. So it was constantly, there's a song I sing about Gaston, where he, you know, it pretty much at the end of every sentence, he punches me or kicks me or steps in my hand or, you know, throws me off stage and all this stuff. So I did a lot of pratfalls in that. And I did it when I do physical stuff. I think Kamikaze, I think Looney Tunes, and I think children. The Kamikaze is you can't be afraid. You have to go for it. You have to be careful. But when you're doing the stunt, you have to just go for it. Because the minute you are afraid you're going to get hurt, you tense up and you get hurt. The physical comedy of Looney Tunes and the timing of the physicality is something that appealed to me a lot. And
if aspiring actors are having trouble finding work, oftentimes they have to work other jobs to pay the bills. But are there any, you know, ordinary jobs out there? I say ordinary as in ordinary jobs that people do every day that could help them to hone their craft as an actor and become better while they look for work in the acting industry?
I've worked in sawmills, I've done carpentry, I've done, worked on farms, all that kind of stuff. Well, I've played those parts. And I had my observation. I mean, I had the experience of doing them, but also sometimes when you're doing it, you pay attention to your coworkers. It can be very handy, and it's any job. A lot of people play businessmen, you know. So if you're working in an office, even if you're doing clerical work, pay attention to your to all levels, because you know you might be someday you might be playing a CEO. You know, just pay attention to them. See how they see where their confidence is and their insecurities and their physicalities.
It was a huge pleasure to have you on the show this week, and thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you, Blake. It was a pleasure doing it.
And that was Canadian actor Cliff Saunders. Don't forget, if you have any suggestions for future guests, just drop me a line. Visit my website, blakecrashpriddle.com. Until next time, remember, here at The Medley, we're all kinds of different.